We should be thankful every day for what God has given to us. And I just couldn't help but think so dearly of those children that were lost in Texas. Their parents cannot see them anymore on earth. But there'll be a time when they meet them in heaven again. You know, God has called us as a flock of believers, a community together. This isn't happenstance that you're here this morning, that you're related to the people that are around you. God has ordained this from the beginning. He knew you when you were before you were in your mother's womb, and He knew you here even then. There's a good deal of things that are going on. And the more we learn about the earth that we live in, the more crazy it becomes. You know, it's like you can't even describe what the left is doing anymore, and some of the crazy things the right as well. But the Lord Himself has intervened for us. The Lord has broken through all of the natural things to see us in the spiritual. So many generations before the Lord came had not known Him. Generations and civilizations could not know Him. But when He came and visited His people as the Messiah, the Christ, everything changed. Ask Him how come it took so long. I don't know. But it's like, what about those poor people? And we were, Cheryl and I were watching the history of the Vikings and all of their gods that they had, Odin and who else? And it was really just a glorified ancestor worship and those kinds of things. But what they came together, especially because of the hardships they found in the lands they were in, they didn't reject anyone. Like if you were a traveler in Norway, way up north, and they had some pretty good times in the summertime. The sun never set, right? It's just like always time to grow something. But in the winter, it was absolutely brutal. And they never turned anyone away. We might, but they never did. There was something in their heart that God wanted us. And the Viking church, when it embraced Christ, their faith, and they were Lutheran for the most part, was fabulously strong. And they went out into all the world again as missionaries. Not unexpected. You know, as we look at the surroundings that we face in our life, in the physical world and in the spiritual, there's going to be questions that we won't always have the answer to. Is that right? Now, if you don't believe me, you can ask AI. I asked him, I said, Grok, and he's the one I usually go to, I said, Grok, what do we do with questions? Are there always questions that we can answer? And he says, yes, absolutely. There was no doubt, no hesitation. Yes, there are things you're not going to understand. That will be mystery. Einstein, and I very rarely quote Albert Einstein, but this time I'm going to. Albert Einstein said, the most beautiful experience we can have is the mysterious. The mystery is, it is the fundamental emotion that stands as the cradle of true art and true science. In other words, you can't really understand something until there's a mystery in your heart, the cradle of you really now finally ready to know the truth. The truth is always a difficult concept. Is that right? I think I've taught a lot about that, but I just want to add one thing. I learned a new word this week. It's confabulation. Is that right? Confabulation. Thank you. So the root word is fabricate. Confabulation is what the courts will say is a firsthand testimony of somebody who is a witness in a courtroom, let's say of a murder or something, and they will, male or female, give you their best idea of what is going on. So they fabricate something of the truth that they think is the truth. And oftentimes it isn't the truth. It's a fabrication of the truth. Grok says it's unavoidable. In fact, he kind of likes the idea of fabrication because that's what he does as AI. They fabricate the best answer based on all of the sources that he has. Well, it's not too much unlike what we have. Interestingly, he says this. He says, I can't believe I'm quoting Einstein, I'm quoting AI. At any rate, he says that our brain is not a video recorder. Our brain is not a voice recorder. We can only understand what's going on around us as we put words and ideas around what just happened. And so we come together and we encourage one another in the Lord. And so even our own friends add to that mix what we're seeing and what we know it to be the truth. Now, in the scripture, there is only one truth, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's no backing away from that. He is the truth. As we're going to read in scripture, he's going to confirm what Einstein said and what Grok said. First, Jesus said it. Is that right? Yeah. It's so wonderful. I mean, it really is wonderful that we get to worship the Lord. We don't have to worship some concept of God. You know, some people says, oh yeah, I was raised under, you know, Star Wars, so it's all about the Force. Well, I'm sorry, but Jesus is even more than the Force. Jesus is my friend. You know, so the truth, everybody is trying to find the truth, but they're getting lost trying to do that. When getting lost is the first step to finding it. Where there is no hope, there you're going to find it. Jesus will be there. So let's turn to John chapter 14. A lot of people visit John 14, but I live there. I'm serious. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, listen how he introduces this, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Being troubled is what we're all about. We like to do that. Maybe you don't think, I don't want to be troubled, I want to be at peace. Oh, but there's something in you that really likes to be troubled. This isn't right. There's something wrong. We need to fix it. Whether it's something wrong in your body or something wrong in the world, we want to fix it. So you're troubled about it, and you say, this cannot be, it needs to be fixed. Why we elect a new president, we want to fix things. Why we go on, we want to fix things. But Jesus says this, let not your heart be troubled. Well, how can he say that? He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. So yeah, you have a concept of God, the creator. Almost everybody does, and if you don't, you're a fool. You just have to look at the stars at night and say, oh yeah, there's no creator? Hello. Let me look inside your head. Maybe you need to go to a psychiatrist because there is a God. But Jesus says, believe also in me. So Jesus is a portrayal of God in a different way than we know from the creation. So I can know God from the creation, yes, but not totally. So it's only partial truth. The creation is what God created and did, but it is not God himself. He fills all and is in all. Verse 2. Now, you're not going to be troubled, but yeah, you always think about yourself first. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, where? To myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. The way you know. Well, Jesus is the way. We know. You know, when we're filled with the Spirit, something happens in our heart, But something also happens in our brain. We suddenly know things we shouldn't know. We had no right to know it, number one. And we don't have the capacity to know it, number two. You think you're so smart. You're not really. Jesus has made you smart, full of wisdom in the Holy Spirit. Because in your own self, you're going to go your own way. And isn't that what Jesus came to do? Save us from going our own way. Oh, I just want what I want. When I retire, I'm not going to take orders from anybody. I'm going to do what I want. Well, good for you. Jesus saved you from that. So you never, in Christianity, there's no retirement. Sorry. Thank you, Kate. Right? There's just no retirement. You can't. I remember Bill Radcliffe saying, I'm just going to be on a porch in my rocking chair, and that's going to be retirement for me. I said, well, good luck, Bill. You're always going to be making decisions. You're always going to be encouraging people. And that's what he's doing today. He can barely talk, and yet he's still encouraging people. Well, Thomas is the first to speak. We could all be Thomas. Is that right? Thomas said to him, wait a minute. I have a question, teacher. Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how. How can we know the way? It's like, huh? No, what are you saying? How could the Lord expect Thomas or any of us to know what he's talking about? He's talking about heaven, but a new heaven that's different than it was ever dreamed of before. Before you could be with your fathers and, you know, you go to sleep or whatever. But now he's saying he's going to go and prepare a place for you. Many mansions, but see, the mansion you're going to is the one where Jesus is. I've heard people think about, even Christians, saying, I know what heaven's going to be like. He's going to tell us everything. We'll know everything. Well, actually, he never says that. You're going to be with him, but he doesn't say he's going to tell you everything. You may still be some things that are unknowable, like what happened before the Big Bang. Good luck. You know, you don't really have to know the truth. You don't have to know all the detail. When a baby is born, almost immediately he understands things are different. Why do you think he cries? Things like, oh, I got to breathe now. Are you kidding me? This is so laborious. This is like monotonous. And by the way, that cold air, well, I've never felt that before there. And it's like, oh, and he starts crying. And then he realizes there's gravity. He was floating the whole time in his mother's womb. He lifts up his arm and it falls. And it doesn't fall up, it falls down. Truth, first truth he learns is his sight brings in light. Second truth he learns, gravity. They're never going to change his whole life. They're going to be there, and it's going to be truthful. How do you know it's true? I mean, in philosophy, they say, how do you know that the chair you're sitting on is not just a metaphor, and your brain is just making these things up? How do you know your life is not a dream, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I'll tell you how you know, and you can know for certain, because you're telling and talking with other people who give you feedback about what you see and feel. So they say nobody can know how the brain comes up with the color blue, red, and green, yellow. Those are colors that are just frequencies. So what are you talking about? Blue. Let's talk about blue. What is the truth about blue? And you get the feeling from other people that the blue you see is actually real, because the emotion that it evokes in you is a peace, a blue sky. It's a peaceful blue. When I put a picture up, that's predominantly a blue theme. Other people say, oh, I love that blue color, the deep blue. And it comes back and it feeds back to me there's something truth about color. The color isn't just a fabrication of my mind, but it's reality. It's true. Jesus made the color blue. What a reality. What a concept. It's not just a fabrication, but it is. It starts as a fabrication. The child looks at the sun and it hurts his eyes and he immediately flinches away and his eyebrows will furrow. I couldn't believe it. My grandson did this first day he was born. He doesn't know gravity. He doesn't know light. He may never know what causes gravity. Think about it for a minute. They're still looking for the God particle, gravity. They're still trying to understand it. Light, go ahead, try to understand what a photon is and how electrons absorb them. Go ahead, try it. It's a mystery, and yet there's a truth comes before even the understanding of the truth. And so we don't understand God and Jesus. It's a mystery. He is a mystery to us. Admit it. But we know it to be true because of who we talk to about him. So I talk to you about Jesus. Oh, he's the same Jesus I know. Ah, what a concept. Reality. Truth. I am the truth. Verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to Father. No one can come to some God, some concept, but through me. Jesus is the revelation of that great mystery that everybody seems to get lost in. We're not lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Why? Because you know Jesus. What a wonderful thing. It's not just, oh, home, it's Sunday and we get to worship the Lord again. It's a wonderful thing. Full of mystery. Full of love, even. And an embracing love that won't let you go. Even when you're in trouble. Not your own trouble that you fabricate, but real trouble. God is with you. Jesus, in Jesus. And he answers Thomas, less than kind, but still sensitive. And he says, Thomas, if you had known me, what? Thomas's first reaction to that would be, what are you talking about if you'd known me? Of course I know you, Jesus. He came to follow Jesus. He's in love with Jesus. And Jesus says, from that knowing, Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Because you can't just know Jesus without knowing the Father. You can't just say Jesus is alone in this, but Jesus is together with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, and from now on you know him and have seen him, that is the Father, only through Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So oftentimes I pray, Father God, Jesus, I love what you're doing in my life. People may think I'm conflicted in the world, but Christians understand that. They don't have to guess about it. It's like gravity and light. It's instinctive for us to know the Father. Philip, however, won for detail, and there's nothing wrong with that. You want to know detail. I do. I search it out. I want to know, fine, Lord, but I want to know what blue is really about. Now, that's a wonderful thing, blue. And all the colors and how they change our mood and reflections. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. What was he? He was on another train tracks for sure. Jesus said to him, verse 9, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? Whoa. Now, you know Philip woke up at that point. It's like, let me shake off this sleep from my eyes, Lord. I'm so sorry. And he says, and he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? See, he's already taught him these things. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority. He's already said that. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. So now he's going to change his focus, not just on Jesus as a personality or a being in the universe, but he's going to change it to the works that he does. And the works that he does is what we share with one another in home group, what we share on Friday nights in our testimonies, the works that God has done in us and through us. Isn't it wonderful God could still use you? I wonder about it some. Why do you use me? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And verse chapter 17 goes into that in detail. or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So what were the works that Thomas had seen and the other disciples? Well, they saw the works of salvation. People were coming to him that needed healing, not only in their bodies, but in their soul and mind and spirit, all of them. He didn't just heal the leper outwardly, but he healed him inwardly too. The demoniacs came to him because they were healing inwardly for the demons that were oppressing him, even oppressing them from outside. And there are demons in this world that are oppressing even Christians, not taking over them and possessing them, but oppressing them from outside. The demonic world is real. The angels are real. It's not something that's fabricated, but it's something that's true. And we know it's true. Not because we have seen an angel or that we have even seen a demon. We know it's true because of the outcome of the works that are around us. Verse 12. He's going to be with you in those troubles in a way like you don't know. And you just think you don't have any weapons, but you do. This is the weapon you have. And it is not the least weapon. It's not like an AK-47 against a tank or against a cruise missile or against a drone. This is the best weapon the Father has. Most assuredly, I say, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do greater works than these he will do. Because why? Because he goes to the Father and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. That's why. Verse 13, whatever you ask, that's prayer, in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son and you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I say, well, we haven't seen it. Oh, yes, you have. Billy Graham is my prime example of someone who's done greater works than Jesus did while he was on the earth. He's laid hands on people. He's brought people to the Lord. He's healed people. And there are a lot of people that have done wonderful things in more greater numbers than Jesus. Jesus was only here for a few years in his ministry, and these people had most of their life ministries. So this has already taken place. Don't think it's for the future only. It's already taken place and will continue to take place. But here's the difference. It doesn't say that it's going to be by single ministries like Billy Graham or whomever. It's going to be by the church, those who pray, those who go out and lay hands on one another. There the kingdom of God will be established on the earth, not just be a passing fancy. It won't be just a thing that's odd. And that's why, you know, who was it, the newspaper publisher that wanted Billy Graham to be famous? I forget his name now. And he said, well, this guy's unbelievable. You should literally hear him. So he says, let's give him a headline. And so they did, and it made him famous overnight. Well, it's not the headliners that are going to do it this day. Well, God's doing it different. Verse 15, thank you, Tim. Here's the difference. The motivation isn't going to be your ministry. The motivation to go forth and do the works of God is not going to be because you're going to be famous. He says, if you love me, there's the key, keep my commandments. So you're going to ask things, and he's going to ask things of you to do his will. Commandments aren't the Ten Commandments here. The commandments are being obedient to the Holy Spirit. So that's the real problem. If you love me, you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit and keep his commandments. So if he says, get up and go to church, you're going to get up and go to church. If he says, get up and prophesy, you're going to prophesy. And if you don't, you will know that you haven't been obedient to Christ. No amens. I expected that. Yeah, okay, thank you. He says, oh, but you're going to have something else. Not just your will to love me. I want to love you, Lord. Not just your will to love me. He says, and I will pray, that is, Jesus is going to pray. His prayers are answered. I will pray the Father, to the Father, that he will give you another helper. Oh, An angel? No, better than that. That he may abide with you for a short time only? No, forever. Baptism means an immersion where you just cannot get away from it. You're wet all over. That's what baptism is. And you're filled with the baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit's leaking out all over you. You walk into a room. You walk into a store. Somebody should know the Holy Spirit is there. The Spirit of truth. Oh, can we leave that word alone for a while? Please, Lord. No, the Spirit of truth. Because it isn't just fabrication. It isn't just your idea, a story you tell. But something that the Holy Spirit is going to work in you, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. They can't know it because they're fabricating all the time, telling their own story, their own version of the truth. But you will know him. Oh, that's a great word, no. You will know him, to know the Holy Spirit. I don't know the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, say it but all you want, but the Lord has called you to know him. For he dwells within you, so no denying it. And he will be in you. Verse 18 is a real great verse to repeat. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, somehow come back for you later and see how you're doing. Give you all the instructions you need, and you're going to be equipped with all the armor I can give you. No, Jesus is going to be with you himself. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. So Jesus is identifying himself as the Father, and he's identifying himself as the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says, I will come to you. Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, all of them. Mystery, the cradle of art and science. The cradle of truth. Truth. Well, things are going to get a lot worse for these disciples, Thomas among them. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live in you. Because I live, you will also live, or live also. At the day you will know me, at that day you will know that I am in the Father. What day? And you and me and I and you. What day? A day that's coming. That Jesus will not be in the world. So what day would that be? The day he died on the cross. And he goes back to this thing about commandments. He's not talking about Old Testament commandments. He's talking about the New Testament one. Loving each other. Doing things he wants you to do. What instructions does he have for you today? The reason you're not retired is because you're still asking God what he wants you to do. He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. So he's asking for obedience. Nobody likes that word. Obedience will free you from your own problems. He who loves me will be loved by my Father also, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The love of God comes through obedience to the Lord. You can't somehow love God without being obedient to him. That's as simple as it gets. Be obedient. It's not that difficult. You'll find once you've tried it, you'll like it. Some people have said to me, if the Lord had told me about all these trials, I would have never come to God. Oh, yeah, you would. No, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, now, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? So Thomas isn't the only one who's a little confused. Jesus answered and said to let, if anyone loves me, he keeps going back, he will keep my word, not just his commandment, but his word. The word of the Lord that he speaks to you is going to have power within you to do things. And my Father will love him. And we will come with him to make our home with him. Oh, God, please do. Finally, we have a home, not just in heaven, but now. Don't wait for heaven. Don't wait for retirement. It's now. Who'll make our home? Who's going to make that home with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? To make you a home. Wow. Look in the mirror. You're his home. Look around to your brothers and sisters. They're his home too. So we might somehow egotistically accept that he would come to see us, but not that person. Oh yes. Maybe the one you least like, he is going to make his home. He who does not love me does not keep my words. So he says the same thing in a different way. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So he's saying, I wish there was an easier way, but these are the Father's words. You can't somehow get away with doing your own thing. Can't do it. Verse 25. Now comes the part you're going to like. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. And then he says it again, the very thing he started with. Let not your heart be troubled. Church, your heart is troubled, otherwise he wouldn't say that. You're struggling with being troubled. And then he says, oh, and by the way, don't be afraid. I'm troubled because I'm afraid. I don't know everything that's coming my way. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For the Father's greater than mine, than I am. Well, we know now that he's going because he's going to give the Holy Spirit. Now I've told you all these things before it comes, that when it does come to pass, what has he told them? He's told them the operating plan of the Christian church. That is being filled with him, being filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing the Father. He's giving him all of the keys to knowing the truth. He says, I'm telling you this, you may believe. So when it does come to pass, that is when you're finally filled with the Spirit, you're going to know that's true. See, the key to prophecy isn't predicting the future only, but it's predicting the future so that after it happens, say, oh yeah, I remember the Lord talked to us about that. Oh yeah, I remember the Lord told me that all I have to do is ask for wisdom and he'll give it to me. He's not going to parse it out little by little, but he's going to give me all the wisdom that I need when I walk through troubles on the earth. That word is for you when you're going through it, not before. I will not talk much more with you, the Lord says. Wow. That would have been a sad thing to hear the Lord say, wouldn't it have been? If you were there, I would have said, oh, please. Another week, please. Another month, another year, please. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for you to go to the cross. I'm not ready to go through the even the beginning of the church, we're all going to be sent out and most of us will be martyred. Are you kidding? I'm not ready for this. Jesus says the ruler of this world is coming, and that's Satan. And he has nothing in me. And you're going to be in Jesus under the pinions of his wing, the shadow of his wing. You're going to be in with Jesus, his covering. You don't have to be righteous and have it all together and know all things and even guess the truth correctly because you're under the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is in you through and through. Nothing is too awful for him to embrace. The world may know that I love the Father. The world, people that didn't know before, whole civilizations, as the Father gave me commandment. Remember what he said about a commandment. You can't love without doing the commandments that God wants you to do. So Jesus knew what he was preaching to his disciples is exactly what his father was saying to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, take this cup away from me. Are you kidding me? I don't want to die on a cross. It's enough that I'm bleeding sweat, or sweating blood, rather. This is too much. But he was ready to take the cup and do it for us. As the Father has given me commandments, so I do. And he doesn't just stay there. He is not asking us to stay where we are. Arise, let us go from here. He has, this is an important part of getting through trouble, he has a work, a good work for you to do. Do you believe it? Or you think you're just still the old man, your old nature is just going to always be this way? It's not going to always be this way. It isn't going to be where Jesus is going to just give us the rules and that plan. He's going to live in us in a way that's powerful in the things that are before us. So I'm retired, and I could get up in the morning and say, well, another day in paradise, nothing to do. I think I'll take a nap. To be honest, oftentimes I do that. But God has a work for me to do. Is that right? Now, it may not be the work you think he has for you, because we have our own fabrication of what we think it is. So maybe you should be asking your brothers and sisters what they see in you. Because remember, they have the Holy Spirit too. And they may be able to see things in you you have never seen. I remember in one home group, we went around each person and said, what do you think about that person? And everybody would say, well, I just really appreciate the way he prays. And, you know, such powerful faith, and it motivates me to pray too. And go to a sister, and I says, I just love the way she brings the prophetic word and her prayers. I know it's going to happen. And oftentimes I'll go back and talk to that person. I said, did you think that was in you? That was the first time they even thought about it. A lot of things you do and have done in the past, you don't know how wonderful they have already been. When I was going through the Veterans Administration, I ended up as Administrative Director of Managed Care, you all know. So I had like three hospitals, many more that I was like trying to get through the whole process of integration. And Al Gore and others that were in the government service at the time. And it was hard for people to take. So what I was doing is bringing Christian principles into the administration that I was in. And because of that, I had a lot of friends. I also had a lot of enemies that I didn't know. Later, some of them would come to me and say, I wish I had listened. Things would have been a lot different. But you know what I liked the best? Of those that did listen that I never knew. I said, you changed my life. You made my career a success. You made my family love me, and I love my family. We never even knew that that was an important thing. Well, I didn't even know I was doing it. I didn't know that God's life was coming out from me. But it was. It was leaking. Try to stop it up. It's not going to come. I work now, after all. And it's government service. I'm not supposed to share Jesus Christ as Lord. That's not such a bad thing now. Back when I was in the government service, nobody ended their prayer in Jesus' name. Even the Methodist minister would never do that, because he knew that there were Jewish people among them, etc., etc. Nowadays, if you believe in Jesus, it's acceptable for you to pray in Jesus' name. Even in a government service. Things change because of who God put there. Was it me? No, but it was God. So, Father, we thank you for the call you've given to each one of us. Lord, we hear your voice. Let not your heart be troubled. And we embrace what you have given us in the church today. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The mystery which dwells within us. Lord, let these afflictions that afflict our body leave in Jesus' name. We're not going to stop praying that prayer because it still hurts tomorrow. We're going to keep praying that in Jesus' name. Lord, we come against the schemes of the enemy, the fabrications of lies that are constantly before us. And we fabricate the truth because we know the truth, the way, and the life. Lord Jesus, you. Amen. Amen.